The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So I'd like to read a few lines from the Dhammapada. Can you hear me? We're having this, maybe I'll use this other microphone again. How is this? There we go. Okay. I'm just going to read a few lines from the Dhammapada. The Dhammapada is a collection of verses. It's very common when people are going to look at like the Buddhist scriptures, quote-unquote. Often they look at the Dhammapada. And Gill has a translation that he published quite a few years now, maybe 10 years, I'm not sure. So I modified one of his verses a little bit. But I think it's meaningful. It's meaningful for me. I'll share it. If one associates with good spiritual friends who live purely and untiringly, if one is friendly by habit and skillful in conduct, then one will have much gladness and bring an end to suffering. One reason why I like this, these lines, there isn't anything here that we don't already know, but it's helping to affirm or remind ourselves of importance of good spiritual friends. That is, you know, with whom we associate, with whom we spend time. We are very much influenced by those around us, whether physically or by who we're listening to on the news or the radio or the podcasts or however. There's a lot of, I was going to say research that points to this, but you don't need to have research. I think we all have experiences that being with somebody who is really negative and complaining about everything, then like we find ourselves kind of agreeing, like, oh yeah, that is kind of terrible. Oh yeah. Whereas if we're with somebody who is really watching their speech, and that is that they're not speaking disparagingly of people who aren't there or are not speaking harshly, we find ourselves, we aren't doing that either. So if one associates with good spiritual friends who live purely and untiringly, I'm interpreting this purely as who lives authentically. They're not trying to be somebody they aren't, and yet they're trying to be the best versions of themselves, too. And untiringly, I'm interpreting as, you know, trying to be consistent. They have aspirations, they have goals, perhaps, of how they want to be, and they're consistent and persistent in these aspirations. This doesn't mean they're not human, of course, right? We all have our blind spots, we have our neuroses, we have those areas that sometimes trip us up. But to live with an intention, live with a North Star that is guiding us. And how do we recognize a good spiritual friend can't be by how they live their life, as opposed to maybe only what they say? Do we see that they do what they say they're going to do and don't do what they say they're not going to do? And if we don't have in our regular contact with good spiritual friends, quote unquote, then we can visualize within ourselves spiritual friends that exist somehow. And one way to do this is to notice, what advice are we wanting to give to other people? What are we saying? Well, you know, if this person just knew this thing, then it would be better. Or if they just realized this, this would be better. Very often, and there has been lots of research on this too, the advice that we're giving to others is exactly the advice that we need. But somehow it gets expressed and we're projecting it out onto others. So we can pay attention. What are we thinking or literally telling people what they should be doing? And then we just look at this like, okay, is this relevant for me? Is this relevant for my own life? That's a way that which we can be our own good spiritual friend. As well as this morning when I talked about having kindness and respect for ourselves, as well as for others, of course. But one way to do that is to, rather than be filled with self-judgment or guilt or self-recrimination, is to learn what we can from mistakes, mishaps, unwholesome, unskillful things that we've done. We are human. Chances are we have done this. Can we feel the remorse? Feel, like for me, I found this really helpful to like, wow, this is what it feels to have remorse. I'm so sorry I said that thing. And wow, this feels terrible. It's an awful feeling to wish that you could take something back, but you can't take it back. It's really awful. And to feel that, like, okay, let this kind of be a reminder that, you know, that there's consequences when we say certain things, do certain things, or don't say, or don't do certain things. And can we learn, okay, here's the consequence, without kind of dwelling in it or beating ourselves up over it repeatedly? That's not helpful. What is helpful is to learn, set intentions, I'm going to do something differently, and let go as best we can. So that's one way we can be a good spiritual friend for ourselves. The next line is, if one is friendly by habit and skillful in conduct. So can we make this idea to be friendly, to be kind, as an aspiration, that naturally what falls from that we will be skillful in our conduct. We will do things that are wholesome, that don't cause harm to either ourselves or to others. If we can notice when we have a little flickers of hostility or flickers of ill will. For me, I see this arising when I'm driving my car. I don't know what this is about being in the car, but I find myself getting irritated and a little bit hostile towards the people who aren't behaving the way I think they should be behaving while I'm driving. Yesterday, somebody was like right on my tail, and I was just getting so angry. Like, I was like, wow. Like, that's extra. Can we just notice that? And can I change lanes or some? And if I can't, this person insists on doing that. Can I just notice, okay, here's ill will. This is what I was doing. And then it would go away. And then it would arise again. And then I'd notice. And then it would go away. And then it would arise again. Then I'd notice it would go away. And I did a lot of this. But this is the practice, right? It's not asking us to be perfect, that we never have ill will or hostility arise. We notice what's happening and we work with the truth and the reality of the moment. And that's what's being asked of us. And just this commitment to friendliness, kindness, not filling our hearts, our minds with hostility, that'll have a consequence. Everything has consequences. It'll be a different consequence if we are intentionally working with and noticing wherever we may not be skillful. And the last line is, then one will have much gladness and bring an end to suffering. I love this ending because I find often in my life that I have two goals for practice. To just be happy. And also I do have this goal of liberation, awakening. And this line points to both. Much gladness. The word that is used here, pamoja, just being translated as gladness, is we find in the suttas and the texts, the ancient literature, is the first in a whole like a domino effect. The things that start with gladness then lead to joy, then lead to tranquility, and then happiness and concentration. And with concentration, the settledness that comes with that, then we can have even more wisdom. We can see things more clearly. So gladness in itself is such a great thing. It makes our lives better. Probably makes the lives of those around us better too. But it naturally will lead down this cascade to some greater, even greater well-being, and can lead to some even greater wisdom. And concentration, of course, of this gladness, joy, tranquility, happiness, concentration. I call this the gladness pentad. That's this this cascade then with concentration can lead to some insights or seeing things differently with a settled mind, with a mind that has clarity and is collected. So in this way, if one associates with good spiritual friends who live purely and untiringly, if one is friendly by habit and skillful in conduct, then one will have much gladness and bring an end to suffering. So may you find in your day today and in the rest of the day opportunities for good spiritual friends, friendliness, good conduct, and gladness, and an end of suffering. I talked about liberation, but it can also be just a small everyday end of suffering too. It doesn't have to be the big one. Thank you.